You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Wednesday morning, November 12th. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by. Also later this hour, we're going to talk about the Deer Hunters Roundup, a staple of Northern Wisconsin radio for half a century now. And with the gun deer season getting underway, we'll talk to one of our Civic Media colleagues from up in the Park Falls area about that program. And it's a long history of allowing hunters to share tips and tell tales along the way as well. As always, you can ask us questions or make comments by calling us at 855-75-CIVIC or send us a text message to that very same number. You can use the Civic Media app to call us or text us or leave us a voice note. And you can get into the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook, where you can see the video version live stream of this radio show, and give us your comments and questions there as well. From Rob in Tigerton, he said, good morning, sunny, 36 degrees, doctor's appointment today. He's working on his Highway 29 scrapbook, something he's been working on since the 1980s. It's a thing that he can work on between the mowing and snow plowing seasons. He says, congrats to Pat Murphy for being manager of the year. He says, enjoyed the Northern Lights. I hope for clear skies. And we unfortunately had cloudy skies in the Tigerton area. Also said he had tacos at Jaeger Bombers in Tigerton, a new bar that's starting to serve a variety of food and daily meal specials. And so check out that place when you're in the Tigerton area. All right, Rob, I will. And speaking of Northern Lights, I mean, these photos, I got to see them. Not nearly as sharp as other people and some of their photos. I'm looking at a photo that was texted to us by Chris, listening to our Chippewa Valley station, and it was taken over Lake Superior. And the purples and the pinks and the yellows are just stunning. And I see all kinds of photos on social media, and do feel free to share with us as well, either in the comment section or text it over to us. And we'd love to see what you got to see last night. Some places that never get to see Northern Lights, there was an especially strong show last night, and I hope you got to enjoy it and maybe still got a little bit of sleep as well. All right, let's check in with Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows to learn more. Earl, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning to you, Pat. I'm doing fine. How are you? I just wanted to weigh in on the Northern Lights.
And, yes.
You know, when you think about this creation and things that we just take for granted, right? The Northern Lights and what that is, I mean, the fact that we have an opportunity to see that beauty, it's, you know, some walk past it and it's not a big deal. But if you really think about what's happening there, you have to stop and marvel at what this creation really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the old Cosmos series with Carl Sagan.
Yeah,
and again, just to be able to appreciate, when we use the word nature, we often the word majesty kind of comes up when it comes to the universe and space and phenomena there. What you think of is just how small we are, how small our little rock is hurtling around the sun. And yet we spend all of our time with these petty squabbles and fights and things. And I think we need those moments that Mother Nature gives us to let us know the way that Providence has really blessed us on this little rock.
You know, I say to people, and maybe it's because you and I are long of tooth, but you know, maybe I didn't look at it from that perspective when I was younger, but, you know, the longer you get to stay on this planet, the more you realize just how special it is and how short a time it is that we're here. And so appreciate it why we're here.
Yeah. And like I said, unfortunately, some people would rather really get small and focus on things that aren't even about stewardship to the planet. They're not about service to one another. It's just about winning. It's just about power. And that is definitely what you get out of this government shutdown thing, which may be ending here shortly. But in the meantime, what it has done intentionally to throw so many families for a loop in terms of their health care costs, and then now also losing, you know, their SNAP benefits. It's just, again, it sounds cliche, but I know you've done this too. Won't somebody think about the children? Don't make this about SNAP, the government program. Make this about the kids who would be going hungry otherwise because, you know, their parents are struggling in this economy.
You know, Pat, I looked at some numbers, and America, 36 million Americans live in poverty, and child poverty rate is 14%. In Russia, the child poverty rate is 9%. In China, the child poverty rate is 6%. In Canada, it's 9%. You know, you have to stop and ask, why? Why is America's child poverty rate higher than all the rest of those nations? We only make up 4% of the population. We're the wealthiest nation on earth. For heaven's sakes, you know, I'm in schools now and I see kids and I know that they're living in poverty. I live in an urban area. You live in a rural area. There are children in rural areas who are in poverty families. What are we doing? I mean, the wealthy are getting wealthier. 14% of the elderly in America live in poverty. I mean, we got to fix this, Pat. Okay, and I don't want to hear Democrat, Republican, those things immaterial. What about people? We're only on this planet, in the twinkling of an eye, we're gone. Why can't we fix this?
And it's not just that, you know, we're doing, you know, what I sometimes refer to as the wars on the poors, and it's not just about the children, but I think of how the Roman Catholic bishops in the United States recently chose a new leader, and in their communications also made clear they are very troubled by our treatment of immigrants since Trump took office. And so between immigrants and children, and look, we're not going to turn this into religious talk radio, but I don't feel bad at all saying I'm really not sure how some of these people show up in church on Sundays when I see what they're doing to our children and what they're doing to people who, like their own great-grandparents, simply wanted a better and safer life for their families.
You know, Pat, it is heartbreaking when you see what is taking place. It's not under the cloak of darkness, in broad daylight, what is taking place in this nation. And not enough Americans, I think, are outraged by it. You know, after probably decades from now, they'll study this, the historians, and talk about a dark chapter of our history. We've lived through it, and I've lived through a couple, and you and I have lived through a couple dark chapters, but this is one that clearly is, right now, maybe people can't see it, maybe people are too involved with their own lives, but I don't know. I choose to be involved in the lives of many others, and I think it enriches my life. I just, for the life of me, even after this, you know, government reopens, the issues that created this are still there.
Right.
And so people are going to still need SNAP benefits. I mean, 14% of the elderly in this nation live in poverty. Why would we think that's okay? I mean, you know, people have done the best that they could. It's not, and I'll say this, Pat, people think it's easy to make it in this nation. It's not. Let's be honest. For those who are fortunate enough to have made it through, congratulations. But it's not easy. It is difficult to make it in a nation now that is, you know, more engaged, caught up in a global reality, and that's, technology. And we're not leading anymore like we were when you and I were young. And yeah. So it's more difficult.
And with the explosive growth in AI, we've had a million corporate layoffs already in this country this year. So when you look at Snap, which the last number I've got here is for 2021, Snap helped keep nearly 3 million Americans out of poverty, including 1.3 million children. If you can't do something like that for 1.3 million children, even as we're talking about Elon Musk becoming the world's first trillionaire, we got to talk about priorities.
You know, I remember telling people when they were saying, well, Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire. And they were all excited. And I said, well, you know, that $1 trillion won't keep him here 1 millisecond longer than when his time is up. And so, you know, we're only here for a short period of time. The $1 trillion in one man's hands, which can transform the world. $1 trillion can end poverty, Pat, over the entire world. Why would we think it makes sense to put that in the hands of one man? Like you said, you know, I'm not, you know, I believe that there's a power greater than myself. And you can call that person or entity, whatever you want to call them, but or her, but I believe that there's a power greater than me. And I believe what has been created here is created for all the human beings and not for just some.
As expressed by on behalf of a lot of listeners from the text line, Jim in Brookfield, and he writes in every week, Earl, and this week he says it's encouraging to hear the passion in Earl's voice fighting for the common good. And you cover that not just from the standpoint of fighting poverty, but also from education. Education is a focal point of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. You know, there's an episode now called The Road to Better Education. You've long been an advocate for special education. So along with feeding the kids, we've got to educate the kids. And again, to do so, you got to do so with your heart and your head, not just trying to, you know, be stingy with your checkbook.
You know, Pat, after it's all said and done, I've never been able to understand why we don't see that children grow up to be adults. We've got problem with adults, and most of the time it's because we didn't take care of them when they were children. And last time I checked, I didn't get to pick the family that I grew up in. Did you?
No.
Okay, so if we don't get to pick the families that we grow up in, then how do we not understand that we need to support children regardless of what family they grew up in because they eventually become adults?
Yeah. We always hear about this, you know, bootstrap mentality, and Jim and Brookfield mentioned, you know, until we address that bootstrap mentality, we're going to have issues here. But like the column I wrote over at upnorthnewswi.com, as a kid whose mom was on food stamps as a single mom, you know, food stamps, Pell Grants, Section 8 housing, you know, Medicaid, those are the bootstraps. If you provide those to struggling families, they can lift themselves up, get an education, get a job, and pay back in taxes over the years far more than I ever got in benefits from Pell Grants, food stamps, and everything else.
You know, Pat, I would say this last thing. What I don't understand is with all of this, we're looking at these young people, we're looking at the struggles that they go through. Our forefathers, the people who came before us, they knew the importance of this because they created these programs.
That's right.
So why have we now decided that the programs are not worthy? What does it say about those of us whose the great generation sacrificed for us to get where we are, and now we're not willing to do that for the others?
Exactly. It's such a sense of complacency that it's tough to fathom. Earl Ingram has all this and more in his What's Going On podcast. Find it at civicmedia.us. Earl, thank you as always. Have a good day.
Always great talking to you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be talking deer hunting in our next half hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, before we get to Melissa Baldoff and our climate check, I was just looking at a little bit of breaking news out of the New York Times. that says that Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex offender, alleged in emails that Donald Trump knew of his conduct. House Democrats on Wednesday released emails in which Jeffrey Epstein wrote that Trump had, quote, spent hours at my house with one of Epstein's victims, among other messages that suggest the convicted sex offender believed Trump knew more about his abuse than he has acknowledged. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee said the emails raised new questions about the relationship between the two men. And, of course, with the government shutdown coming to an end, a newly elected member of Congress from Arizona will be sworn in, representing the 218th vote that could lead to the release of more of the Epstein files, something that Republicans in Congress, including every Wisconsin Republican member of Congress, has been voting consistently to shield, to hide, to protect Epstein and others, rather than allow the victims to seek justice. So we'll follow that story throughout the day, of course, as well. At 8:24 now, time to do our climate check, and Melissa Baldoff joins us as always. And Melissa, there's a big climate conference that's going on in Brazil. The New York Times headline from a few days back said, the U.S. is skipping this year's climate summit. For many, that's okay. That's what we live in now, where it's a sigh of relief that the president of the United States is not going to come bull in a china shop this thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is really just an incredible, you know, lack of leadership, and not just from Donald Trump and, you know, state, you know, government officials who are skipping this United Nations Climate Summit for the first time in 30 years. We also have business leaders are skipping this because they're following Donald Trump's lead. They, you know, it's the same thing we're seeing across the spectrum and on every issue, right? Is we have these people who are leaders in their industries and their in the business world, and they are just pre-surrendering to Donald Trump. So, you know, we used to have leaders of our large corporations making pledges to stop polluting, you know, wanting to be a part of the solution, you know, globally and here at home. And now we don't have anybody showing up.
No, but as we've discussed in this segment plenty of times, there are still people in certain circles at the state government level and other levels who are interested, who do want to continue to be part of the solution. Governor Tony Evers is among those at this conference, so it'll be interesting to hear when he returns what kinds of ideas he's brought back, what things that Wisconsin can do to, again, continue to be a leader and doing the things that either mitigate a changing climate or create, you know, the next generation of jobs in green, clean energies and things like that. So, you know, again, there's no Trump, but that doesn't mean, you know, that all is lost and that, you know, nobody's doing the work. There's still plenty of people in Brazil and elsewhere who take this issue seriously.
Absolutely. That is very fortunate. But again, you know, just a real shame that the United States is not the leader, and instead we have China stepping up to, you know, help other countries be able to embrace clean energy. China is really emerging as the leader globally when it comes to renewables. They are really recognizing that, you know, it's cleaner, it's cheaper, it's faster to get online. This is the renewable energy is the solution to our challenges, and they are helping other countries embrace that as well. And it's really a shame that the United States is not able to be that leader, be that example on the best path forward.
So instead, you do have people like governors who are attending. That includes Governor Gavin Newsom of California, who has kind of emerged as Trump's chief antagonist, including on, you know, issues that are related to energy, including a story from the other day that said Trump is trying to propose opening more of the California coast to oil drilling. Gavin Newsom said the proposal is dead on arrival. And so here again is, we could dwell on Trump wanting to drill off the California coast, but let's go to the encouraging part, that you're not going to see, I don't believe, companies rushing in to do that. They know that, you know, that idea lasts as long as Trump is there. And the moment he's off the stage, you know, saner minds will prevail. And so it's easy for companies in the private sector to say, well, we won't go to this summit because it'll make Trump angry. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to rush in to try to drill off the California coast. At least that's my expectation. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, that's one of the worst things about this here is that we have so many people who know better, but aren't choosing to do better because they don't want to be on, you know, be on Donald Trump's bad side. And I do think that they will come back home, for lack of a better word, to sanity, should things change, which I think they will and hope they will. And we'll welcome them back to sanity. But it's unfortunate that, we have so few people, willing to do that. And I heard somebody on a podcast, yesterday that I was listening to, really rail against, you know, billionaires and leaders of large corporations who should have this influence and power, saying how, like, look, these people have FU money. Yeah. And what's the point of having FU money if you're not going to say FU to this guy?
You would think. And they've fallen short of remembering that there hasn't been drilling along the California coast since a massive oil spill in 1969. And they're not rushing back into the Gulf Coast because of Deepwater Horizon. So these companies know better. And Trump's trying to gin it up. But thankfully, he will not be on the stage forever. Melissa Baldoff, thank you as always for this week's Climate Check. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Greg Anderson from Park Falls about the Deer Hunters Roundup. That's after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Civic Media has more sports coming up on the air this weekend than you can shake a hockey stick at, and we're going to start with hockey. Badger men's hockey versus Ohio State. There will be games Friday, Saturday. Friday's coverage begins at 6:30. I believe Saturday's at 5:30. Catch the Badger men's hockey team on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids and WJMS up in Ironwood, Michigan. On Saturday, the Badger football team will be playing at Indiana. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. Saturday on four different stations across the network. And then on Sunday, you've got the Packers versus the New York Giants. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. on four other stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Some folks aren't going to hear those games because it's gun deer season. We're getting to be that time of year again. You know, Thanksgiving's creeping up, and you can't do that till after you have that nine-day gun deer season getting started the weekend before. And of course, you hear the word tradition out there a lot when talking about hunting, something that, you know, fathers and sons and daughters and others have done over the years. But just as much a tradition in the Park Falls area is the Deer Hunters Roundup. And now that the stations up there are part of the Civic Media family, we wanted to talk to Greg Anderson a bit more about the Deer Hunters Roundup that is happening. So Greg joins us now from Park Falls. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me today. It's a beautiful bluebird day up here, but a chilly one, and hunting feels like it's coming in the air.
It most definitely does, yes. So we've got the season coming up, which of course brings us to the Deer Hunters Roundup. And, you know, we do a weekly call with the entire staff around Civic Media, and I always appreciate seeing about this time of year the excitement that people feel because, you know, we talk about local radio, and there's ways that local radio still has that connection to the community. But few have the connection that y'all have up there with the Deer Hunters Roundup. And so tell us a bit about what exactly it is, and then we'll get into just how popular it is with listeners.
The Deer Hunters Roundup, well, first of all, is a very basic show format in which we have live call-ins, the way radio used to really be built on, live audience participation, calling in specifically from deer camps. We're talking to deer hunters. We're talking to, in many cases, multiple generations of people who are at deer camps, which is a phrase that encompasses everything from the shack you're picturing from Escanaba into Moonlight up to something that would be a very expensive Airbnb that only gets used for a couple weekends a year. So the upshot is the people who you don't think would share much about what they're doing are telling all about the experience, and they're ragging on each other a little bit. They're giving each other jokey code names and camp names. But it's one of those things that I thought was totally normal, Pat, until I moved away and realized that we had something weird going on. You know, when you leave home at 18, 19, and you realize, boy, my parents did that one thing really, really weirdly. I thought it was normal because I grew up that way. That for me is the Deer Hunters Roundup. I'm from this station I work at. It's my hometown. So these are my family members and friends calling in to report. Yep, no deer this year here at the Green Acres camp out of Highway Loretta over there. And forgive me, I know that sounds like a stereotype, but there's going to be 30 calls just like that a week from Saturday.
Of course there are. What do we always say? There wouldn't be stereotypes if some people didn't insist on living up to them. That's how they get created. So the Deer Hunters Roundup has been a staple for what, a little over 50 years now?
Exactly. So 50 was last year, if I'm not mistaken. I know we shouted about it often enough, but I think I've just kind of repressed it because there was extra work to be done. And you absolutely will find companionable disagreement on who started it. We actually just, the Civic Media Network just recently acquired another station up north in the UP who will absolutely claim they were doing it first. We have not resolved that conversation yet.
No, there's nothing that gets resolved between Wisconsin and Michigan, from ownership of the UP to which state looks more like a mitten. It's what we do. It's in our DNA. We're talking to Greg Gunderson from the Civic Media stations up in the Park Falls area about the Deer Hunters Roundup. And actually, specifically, there's what, three different stations up there. On what stations and times can people hear it?
Well, actually, we'll be active at about 6 p.m. every day of the gun deer season, except for Thanksgiving, because we've got to give everybody a break for that one. We'll be rotating hosting duties a little bit, but basically every day but Thanksgiving, 6 p.m. on 98Q Country. We'll also be going live over in Hayward, I believe, on WHSM, and then we'll be down in Wisconsin Rapids as well. So tune into stations from those towns. There's multiple in each space, but at least one of them will be rocking the Deer Hunters Roundup. It was really cool. Last year we did that for the first time. We opened it up to Wisconsin Rapids, even though the programming itself and all the calls were going into Park Falls and we were just multiple streaming that. It created this really cool thing where we just expanded the area where we were receiving calls from. So instead of Loretta and Draper just west of us and a couple cities just east, we're getting places way south of them participating in the same level. And again, these are the people who you find them in public. They're not talking much. These are the quiet hunter guys that are just buying ammo and leaving. They will open their hearts up like you're their therapist and they've already paid for it if you want to talk to them about deer hunting and help them spread the word a little bit.
It is, because you truly are among friends. You are in your element, and that's great. Talk about some of the cast of characters that make up the Deer Hunters Roundup. I know there's, we got to start with Joel, of course, because he couldn't be here. He's busy doing, you know, live local radio up there in Park Falls.
Yes, every Wednesday morning, he's got a very involved program where he's bringing on local business leaders and just members of local organizations. He calls it reality radio, that's patterned off of the original reality TV 20 some years ago. That kind of speaks to the mentality around here. We don't fix it if it ain't broke. And let me tell you, the Deer Hunters Roundup ain't broke. One of the best things going on with it is Joel Karnick. He just hit 25 years here last year in Park Falls. So he's been doing the roundup for half of its existence on 98Q, and it shows. He can ask two questions of your average hunter that will have them spouting paragraphs and saying silly things like, we spotted a giraffe in the woods. That, by the way, is one of the best little treats. Is sometimes families will call in, they want to have their deer camp on the show in some way. One of the cutest ways you can do that, just hand the phone to your six-year-old. So we'll have to struggle. Yeah, we'll have to kind of coddle some kids who don't know what to say a little bit, but you'll get nothing cuter. We actually had, I think, three daily reports of giraffes sighted in the woods last year. And Joel is all of it. He'll never accept credit, but I worry about that one day he takes off and they hand me the reins, let me tell you.
Well, let's hope then that he sticks around. And of course, you've got plenty of other teammates up there in Park Falls that make this all come together.
Yes, yes, indeed. Big G will be there. If anybody's heard of Big G, you will remember it. And if you haven't heard of Big G, you're missing out. So make sure you catch his. Big G, of course, is nominally a salesperson here in Park Falls. But that also means that he's arranging all the sponsors for shows like the Deer Hunters Roundup, which is special because we'll often bring those sponsors, those business owners, right into the studio to talk about their involvement and their business tie-ins with hunting. So there'll be more people in the studio than ever before, including local business leaders, and we'll probably have one of the most notorious hunters from definitely the most notorious hunting camp right in studio. He's not quite an outlaw, but you'll be thinking about outlaws listening to him.
We're talking to Craig Gunderson from the Civic Media stations up in Park Falls about the Deer Hunters Roundup. 6 p.m. most days of the gun deer season on 98Q Country out of Park Falls, which you can also listen to through the Civic Media app and the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And that has to be, Gray, the really cool part is that, you know, instead of just being on one stick up north, that you've now got essentially a global potential audience through the app and the website that people can, you know, even if they live in other places now, they can get a little touch of home.
Well, I mentioned earlier, Pat, that moving away showed me how different the Deer Hunters Roundup is. It's not that super normal thing that everyone's doing. The same can honestly be said without calling me special or anything. Like, we do things just a little different up here in general, simply if for no other reason, because the population's a little bit lower. And again, I didn't realize that until I moved away. And again, when I realized, I realized it a second time when we joined the Civic Media Network, and it slowly became clear that we break every rule that all the other stations follow and get away with it and probably need to do it. So the Civic family grew in a very unique and lopsided way, I think, when the Northwoods was added onto it. But it's never been better than since we've joined the Civic Media Network. So if you want the best form of one of the coolest shows in Wisconsin, catch the Deer Hunters Roundup starting a week from Saturday.
Yeah, and again, it's no knock on our friends at the stations in Waukesha and Madison and whatnot, but a big part of Civic Media's genesis was to provide, new voices throughout the rest of Wisconsin, and then help some familiar voices gain a little bit more ground and spread it around through the app and through the website. Craig Gunderson is our guest talking about the Deer Hunters Roundup and, of course, the tradition of the gun deer season. And, you know, if there's one topic that comes up all the time, it's the decline of, you know, the population of hunters. Families aren't as big, not as many kids take up the hunting tradition, you know, from their parents and things like that. And I mean, you've got the demographics of the baby boom and everything else. It's a conversation point, but what else can you do besides try to generate interest in hunting with younger folks, whether they're up there or elsewhere around the state?
It's one of those things that's very hard to create, Pat. I think kids are kind of notorious in a way, if you will, for you never know what they're going to fall in love with. One of the things I highlight on my shows often is when the EMS services, like the ambulances and the fire service, they'll sometimes do like a truck tour thing where they just park a couple emergency vehicles in a parking lot here at City Hall and bring your kids, take pictures in the seats. I always mention to people, you don't know if your kid's about to discover their lifelong passion when they do that. So bring them, expose them to that, see what they think. Hunting might be even tougher because there's a lot of barriers for entry beyond the cost, beyond needing to know how and where to do it. It just isn't necessarily that appealing to modern youth a lot of the time. And that's a simple fact we've got to deal with. Duck hunting, for example, there have been studies done over the last few years based on current trends. The duck population is basically unthreatened based on the expectations of waterfowl hunting. Basically, if things stay how they will, the ducks are going to be fine because the number of hunters has steadily been declining. That may or may not be true with deer hunting, but it speaks to the general decline in hunting as a popularity. But even with fewer people hunting, there's fewer deer being harvested every year. And with grocery prices going up, how can we preserve hunting for hunters and for the animals are questions that get more important every day. More of my family and friends are filling their freezers with venison, but less will be able to the more who need to. So
yeah,
there's a few fundamental questions just hanging. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're literally talking about harvesting. And in this case, perhaps for people other than yourself that you could be donating toward and helping them. I know that my daughter who lived in Idaho for a number of years, her husband at the time was a hunting and fishing guide. And, you know, you counted on getting that one elk every year to stock the freezer, and plenty of people still do that with venison. Not as many these days. I mean, things are just a little bit different now, not just the numbers, but the technology too, Gray. You've got hunters are a little more high tech than ever before.
Yes, absolutely. And I immediately think of the extremes, which is literally carting an ozone generator system to your stand, which is actually quite affordable. And I mean, cameras might be the more readily available example where people are getting updates on their cell phone of the camera that's pointing at where they keep their stand. You know, you used to have to sit there and see the deer. Then we've got cameras that you can go and grab the stick from and put it on your computer, and you can sit there at your computer. All the hunters gather up, almost like you're getting your results for your LSAT or something. And it's just, here's the pictures of the buck that came in. And that was super exciting. Nowadays, my brother just walks up to me and says, here's the deer that was at my stand 4 minutes ago. And he just holds his phone up and here's the picture on the cell camera. For me, the biggest departure, though, might be the fact that my dad, who has been wearing Stormy Cromers and wool pants and hunting since he was able to walk, still wears that same gear, just now in a ground blind that has a heater in it. I mean, when you can pay $80 for a propane heater that will fill your entire space with more than enough warmth, and you're not going to see fewer deer as a result, why would I ever suffer in the cold? Which, by the way, was my biggest barrier, aside from the fact that I feel like I want the deer to grow, so I only do it when we're in leaner times.
Sure.
But like, yeah, it was also just too cold, so I better be really hungry before you're going to drag me out there.
Yeah, well, the technology does have its positive side, of course. All right, well, Greg Gunderson's got this and much more with the Deer Hunters Roundup, 6 p.m. most days of the gun deer season on 98Q Country in Park Falls and through the Civic Media app and website. Greg, thanks very much. Have a great time.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
All right. Good to see you. We will have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Matt and Air on Air is coming up next year across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach coming up just over an hour from now after the 10 o'clock news here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, my thanks to everybody who sent in photos of the Northern Lights or has been posting them in various places. Again, it was just an amazing night, amazing displays last night, and some of you are... It's just incredible at taking pictures of these things. And we all promise that in the future, if we get a heads up that it's going to be an especially good night for the Northern Lights, we're going to tell Parker this time.
Because I feel like
I feel like it was like some kind of grand conspiracy that Parker wasn't going to find out. As a person who's under the age of 50, you're on social media nonstop all the time. I don't know how you missed this. But you did.
I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Most of my social media, Pat, is sports media. That's my problem.
That's true. There need to be more sports groups that stop looking at the game for a moment and look up at the sky. Maybe that's what.
Tell me how much the sky looked like the Minnesota Timberwolves NBA Cup court. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I could totally see that. I really appreciated Gray stopping by to talk about deer hunting. And I told him the story when we were setting this up about how, you know, my dad had tried to take me out deer hunting a few times and I just wouldn't shut up. I couldn't do that whole keep quiet thing. Gray assured me there are plenty of dads who have growing pains with their kids, and you know, eventually, some of them get there. You know, I think about my two older grandsons, and again, their dad being a hunting guide. Now they're out there elk hunting in the mountains of Idaho, and getting elk.
I was gonna say, and they're getting like big stuff too.
They're getting big stuff, and of course, now I'm getting far away from white-tailed deer here in Wisconsin. But when you're hunting elk, that's a whole different animal. First off, a very tasty animal. If you ever are offered elk steaks, just say yes, okay? But having said that, you can't just drag an elk out of the woods, okay? You have to basically cut it up. It's known as quartering. Well, and if you're deep into the woods and you got to take it out, one quarter at a time because it's so heavy, and then you got to go all the way back and then take out the next quarter and then go all the way back into the woods and find it again. And sometimes if it gets a little too close to sunset out there in the mountains, you might see grizzly tracks.
Yeah.
And it's at that point that you go,
I don't need that. I got enough.
I offer that as tribute to Mr. Grizzly, you know?
This is me giving back to the forest.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we don't have that issue here in Wisconsin hunting, thankfully. But I'm sure there will be many other good stories told as part of the Deer Hunters Roundup coming up this weekend. We mentioned in today's history lesson that this is the anniversary of Disney Plus beginning its streaming. I think it would have made a good quiz, but I just thought of it now, of all the various streaming services and when they all started. Now, I mean, like Netflix wasn't a streamer at first.
Yeah.
Netflix. Do you even remember when Netflix just sent DVDs through the mail?
I don't think I remember it at all, but I do know that's what they used to do.
It sometimes blows my mind to remember getting that red envelope in your mailbox, and there would be the DVD for whatever movie it was that you wanted to see, that you had to wait days for it to be shipped to you. And now you just hit a couple of buttons on your phone and it pops up on your TV.
I can't imagine having enough patience to
wait for
a movie that you wanted to watch 3 days ago. Although it does take me about an hour of scrolling through a streaming service to find something I want to watch.
Isn't that the funny thing, though? I mean, we've got 500 streaming services, each one with 500 movies that you can watch right now. And yet we scroll and we scroll and we scroll
endlessly,
trying to find something interesting. I mean, yeah, you waited for DVDs, and much the same way that Amazon.com, the only thing you could find on it in the beginning was books. It was a bookstore.
Yeah.
It was a bookstore only. And I remember when they first added, I don't remember the first couple of things that they added, like household products or something. And people were all up in arms like, you can't do that. You're a bookstore. And Jeff Bezos said, hold my billions, you know, and then created what we have today. I mean, the little things that something was dropped on our doorstep just the other day. Again, from something that used to be a bookstore. But getting back to the streaming services, so we've got Disney Plus started streaming on this day in 2019.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people go through and total up what all these streaming services are costing.
It's best
because
not
you've got
to.
Your Netflix, you got your Disney, you got the Hulu, you got Amazon Prime. I feel like I'm missing at least one other one there. And, you know, some people
Paramount.
There's Paramount. It never even occurred to me to go get that one, but other people, or they're paying for YouTube TV, which isn't quite the same thing. But it's so, again, not to sound like grandpa, but we had three channels on TV and you just watched what was on. So it was a big deal that you could choose a movie and it would show up in the mailbox a few days later in a little red envelope.
That had to feel incredible.
It did, unless you started racking up the late fees. And did I tell you I found one years and years later?
You still?
As I was cleaning out the basement, and I
it was in this
DVD.
Pile of manuals. It was
it
really
was
weird.
In a pile, yeah, manuals and receipts and things. Again, we could just spend this segment every day. Tales from Pat's Basement, you know, Tales from a Pack Rat. And there was a DVD that long ago I had to send in, you know, the full retail price of the movie, which was probably like, I don't know, $15 or whatever, but instead of 99 cents, because I lost it. I couldn't find it and send it back. And you know what it was? It was Game 7 of the 2004 ALCS between the Red Sox and the Yankees, when the Red Sox were down 3-0 and came all the way back. And it was Game 7 because it was so exciting, I wanted to watch it again.
That rocks that you could get that on demand like that.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
So cool.
Now I can get it in 8 seconds, you know, on YouTube. But back then, that was a big deal. Yeah. You just had to remember to return the DVD.
It's usually important. Yeah. Return the things that don't belong to you.
Exactly. All right. You have a great day there. And to all of you as well, thanks for joining us. My thanks to Greg Gunderson, Bryn Horton, Ellie Bordeaux, Jimmy Koska, and you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, part of Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. We'll see you bright and early, 6 a.m. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.